This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're playing one of the rarest and most valuable games for the Nintendo Entertainment System. From Taito, or Taito, it's Little Samson, released in 1992, an action and platform game that's a rough mixture of Adventure Island and Mega Man. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Todd Brisket.
Oh, it's great to be here with my friend, the dragon, and the big rock guy, and a cat-sized mouse.
And my other regular co-host, who loves turning into a dragon and a golem to fight his enemies, is Huel Hauser.
Let freedom's bells ring.
Oh, okay. Joining us this week is a special guest, my buddy DJ. Welcome to the podcast, DJ.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I traveled here via magical floating orb.
As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, or by following us on Twitter or Facebook. Write in or comment and get a plug on the show. Subscribe on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. And if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend. Now you can support us by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link, visit our website, www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Little Samson from 1992. This is a game I hadn't really heard of before it was nominated for this week's show by DJ. I did give it a playthrough this past week, though, and it was a fun little platformer. It's not really that deep, but it has a neat gameplay mechanic of being able to switch characters, with each one having a unique playstyle. DJ, you nominated this game, and I think you may have mentioned that you owned it at one point, or maybe not. Why don't you share your thoughts on it first?
Yeah, so I didn't own it. It was actually one of my best friends owned it, so I got to play it like on the cartridge, which, knowing now that it was worth, it sells for like sometimes as much as like $5,000 now, is insane. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was such a really cool, underappreciated game. It's so much fun to play. Mm-hmm. It's got some really interesting, unique gameplay mechanics. Like you said, you can switch characters on the fly. There's some kind of alternate levels that you don't hit every time you play through the game, and all the characters, you know, have different strategies. So even though it's not a super long, you know, like Final Fantasy type game, there's a lot of like replay value and kind of depth, even though you finish the whole thing in an hour or so.
This is like if your friend had a Ferrari and you got to drive it. It's exactly the same thing almost.
Yeah, exactly. You know, looking back, it's like, oh, it's too bad, you know, I didn't borrow it sometime, you know, accidentally, you know, never return it.
Just forgot.
Because they probably like gave it to Goodwill or something.
Yeah, like how I left a copy of Chrono Trigger at my friend's house, like over summer, and then I never saw him again.
Really focused on that cartridge value.
Listen,
kicking yourself on that one.
Yeah,
I got Bill. I could just
be retired by now.
I just this week paid off one of my college loans. I only have two left.
Oh, congratulations.
I've been out of college for a decade. Oh, my God. DJ, I definitely agree with your comments there. I actually did not notice that there were multiple kind of layouts going through.
There's two little things.
There's like one of the boss fights. There's like all the ledges, the like weird like mer woman you fight. Mm-hmm. If you fall through the ledge, there's like an alternate path you can take.
Yeah,
instead of fighting that boss.
I almost restored my save state because I fell through. I was like, oh no, what's going on here? But then it just kept going, so I just went with it.
Yeah, but don't they steal the bell?
Yeah, they steal the bell.
I assume that after that you couldn't.
Samson.
Yeah. Well, if you fall through as Samson, I guess.
Yeah.
But I didn't continue after that. I reloaded too because I thought you'd have to like go fight for the bell, and that sounded annoying.
Yeah.
Is that what you have to do?
Yeah, well, there's this like weird little level where you have to play as Samson. Like, if you're playing as someone else, it just makes you change into him, and you're just like floating. It's one of those levels where like the level basically pushes forward, you know, so you have to keep up with it or else you get like crushed. So you're like floating on this giant crab and there's like spikes everywhere and it's pretty obnoxious.
It was amazing. So yeah.
Oh, I want to do this now.
If you missed out on this giant crab, you have to go back and do it because this is the most amazing, highly stylized and detailed crab sprite in any game.
The greatest crab graphics.
I would say up until like Xbox 360. Yeah, that's when their crabs starting getting pretty good in like Skyrim and stuff. The mud crabs. Yeah. But before that, it was all Little Samson, this giant crab. Man, man.
Oh, wow.
Wow, it does.
I definitely got to try that.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it. All I had to Google was Little Samson crab, and it, it gave me that, and thankfully not anything horrible. But
yeah, that could have been dangerous.
Yeah, no, it looks like a good lobster there. Good South Park crab man.
Crab people.
It does look a little bit like one of the crab people.
Oh, that looks incredible.
I know, but I can just hearing you, Brisket and DJ describe that. I hate those stages. Like,
yeah, it's not that bad. Well, the thing is, like, it is one of those pushing you forward stages, but due to the fact that this game is actually kind of fun to play with the characters and their different styles, it's actually kind of fun because you can climb on the ceiling to get around areas when the walls are pushing. So it's not bad.
By the way, I got stuck in this game for about 5 minutes because I didn't realize he could climb walls. At first,
yeah, I was about to say this is definitely one I'm glad I read the manual first. I hadn't been doing that for a while, but with these old games, like, gotta check that manual.
Speaking of the manual, that your quote from is from the manual, and
yeah, I wanted to clarify that.
thing about that manual is it tells this entire story of the kingdom of Porgy Porgy or whatever. And then at the last line of the introduction, it says, what does it say, Hill?
Let freedom's bells ring. Because Samson throws bells at people. Unlimited bells.
Oh, that's what they were?
Well, these, apparently. But like the bell. The four characters are like the holders of these majestic bells, and they need to gather them all. It's almost like Dragon Ball. Didn't
follow this story,
yeah, guys.
You know, the king
wasn't it obvious?
So there's this guy named Takeed. He's the Prince of Darkness.
Clearly,
he escaped from his tomb via lightning bolt.
Very similar to Comic Zone.
And the king starts wiggling his staff and assembles the heroes of the bell.
Huh.
Yes. No, the emperor had to bring the people together.
This
to
is
Takeed.
Yeah, this is just Takedo. Like this is a strong allegory for the Vietnam War.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
I won't go into detail because it's pretty obvious, but the king summons everybody to he summons little boys. Dragons,
animals,
rocks,
the earth itself.
Mice.
Huh. Well, yeah, I guess you do control each one of those characters, so.
Now the weird part. Did you guys figure out why when you're all gathered together in front of the king, he forces little Samson and poor little Kikita the dragon to fight to the death.
No, I don't think it was a forcing. I think the Kikita the dragon didn't want to be like corralled into this little group here. I thought they were like lashing out against it.
Yeah, I think he was
little Samson wanted thoughts. He wanted to enslave Kikita.
Yeah, and she like kicks over that Pokeball thing and starts fighting. So you have to smack her up, get her submissive, and then she comes with you.
No. Are you still talking about the dragon?
What?
I don't think I care for this type of patriarchy talk. I did not read any of the backstory in this game, so I thought it was something biblical that I was not getting because I don't know
the
any
dragon?
I don't know
Do you know? Well, do you know the story of Samson in the Bible?
He's the guy who
throws bells at people, right?
There are dragons in the Bible, right? So Steve is not completely off base here.
I feel like now that I think about it, I don't think there are dragons in the Bible.
Yeah.
I know Brisket is a renowned biblical scholar, and maybe he can set us straight, but...
Well, I'm more into the Buddhism.
Oh, well. You're more into the Middle Testament as opposed to the New or Old.
Yeah, the New or Old. Yeah, those are... I like keep it at, you know, keep myself rounded off. I don't want to go to one extreme or the other.
Yeah. You like a little bit of stoning, but not too much. Mm-hmm. But not at all either.
Yeah.
He prefers
just the
mice.
Right amount.
Yeah. He prefers mice that lay bombs.
Yes.
That's why this game appeals to him.
Yeah. We did mention that, you know, you can switch characters. It's pretty interesting because they all have very different play styles. There's the mouse who I'm not going to try to say any of their names, but
the mouse is named K.O.
K.O. the Enchanted.
The letter K, the letter O.
That's not too
bad. Don't stress yourself trying to say the name of that one.
Oh man, it's rough.
You mean like Kevin Owens?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where do you think he got his name?
Yeah. True.
K.O.
Well, yeah, he's the mouse. He can basically, you know,
crawl out. He excretes powerful bomb pellets.
Yeah.
That's the most powerful attack of the game is little mouse dumps.
No, I thought the Rockman's punches were stronger.
They're pretty strong, but if you get like three pellets on a guy.
Yeah, I guess all in a row.
Yeah.
Three of them in a row.
It varies a little bit on the enemy because some of the enemies can just swallow the pellets and it doesn't hurt them.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Some of the spider enemies, I think. The bosses actually, the bosses will like get hit by the pellets and that does actually zing them.
Mm-hmm.
Although it hurts them more if you let the pellet or the bomb explode. So there is a trade off with all of the characters though. The mouse, while he's the quickest and he has the most maneuverability, he also has the shortest life bar. You can only, I think he can get hit like two or three times by a boss and then you're dead.
But that's why you got to beef him up with those heart containers.
Even with the heart containers, I was still getting beat in, I think, like two or three hits from bosses because they.
Yeah, I don't think the damage is the same across each character. Like one life bar doesn't mean the same for everyone.
No, and it also varies based on the boss because the
I think
it's the second to last boss or third to last boss, the dragon that charges you. If you get hit by his charge, he killed me in one hit with when I was controlling Little Samson. So
Little Samson.
Well, the other character, Samson, I feel like controls the most normal as compared to other mm-hmm. games.
Mm-hmm.
The Golem or Rockman, whatever
his
you
name
want
to
call
is, him. His name is Gam with two M's.
Gam.
Gam.
Gam. They could have just called him Golem.
Them Gams.
He moves slower and he can't really jump that well, but he does pack a punch and he has the longest life bar. Mm-hmm. And the final
walk on spikes.
Oh yeah, that's
true.
Very useful.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Gom is he has this weird animation, like after he kills bosses sometimes, or if you just sit and don't move him for a second, where he like makes like a weird like suggestive face. He like shifts his eyes around and like, kind of gives a weird like Gollum smile. It's super awkward and comes
like
out of
he's...
nowhere.
It's like he's breaking the fourth wall. He's speaking speaking to my soul.
I did not notice this at all. I was too busy playing the game to play with my Golem, guys. Come on.
Come on, guys.
And the final one is the dragon who controls very oddly to me, where he can he kind of reminded me of Princess Toadstool from Mario Brothers 2. Oh, it is a lady dragon, yes.
Thank you.
You didn't see them hoots, man?
Batting her eyes at me.
The dragon can kind of hover, but its attack is this weird, it's like a horseshoe curve almost, like fireball.
Yeah, that was kind of
annoying. It's a logarithmic.
Based on the Fibonacci sequence, actually.
It is, yes. If you plot the curve. No, I found the dragon the most useful, I think.
I did. I think I put the most time in on the dragon, too, just because you can just blaze through stages. And then
pretty much.
Yeah, except for ones where you're climbing, you know, vertical, where you have to be a mouse. But you just fly straight through these stages as the dragon.
Yeah.
The dragon's really good against some of the bosses, too, especially like the Reaper, because the fire can go through enemies after it kills them and still hit the boss.
Yeah, speaking of that, there's the one boss that is the, what is it, the sea monster? Where he's like coming up out of the ground.
The mer lady, yeah.
No, not the mer lady. This is the giant sea monster.
Oh.
I just stood in one spot as the dragon and kept firing, and my fireballs flew up into his teeth, or his chin area. And whenever he fired his balls at me, it was a spread shot, and they don't hit on ground level, so I just stood there as the dragon and just kept firing. I didn't have to move but like twice in that boss fight.
It didn't have to move but twice, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I will say, in contrast to many of the past games we played, I did beat this one.
Yeah. That's another thing, is this game is good that it is, I think it's the right balance. It's I'd put it on par with like DuckTales as far as like the difficulty and effort required, and also the quality.
Yeah, it's go ahead, Yul.
I had some trouble with some of the bosses.
Yeah.
There's some patterns there that aren't too clear.
I'll say that the most difficult boss is the first one,
I know,
Cyclops.
Because it's two bosses.
I had the most trouble with the one that shoots those black and white spheres that you have to, like, I don't know, you have to, like, jump over and dodge all of them. They come from the side of the screen, from left to right or right to left. And, like, two
of
them.
Yeah, that one, I just change into the mouse and just stay on the ground and jump over the ones on the ground.
I didn't try that.
Yeah. I didn't get it through my head to try switching characters.
Oh, that is another awesome thing about this game.
I think that's the
problem. Where you can come up with different strategies to beat this game is that you can change characters like in mid flight. You know, you're falling down and change into the dragon and just start flying away. You know, you can change strategies like right in the middle of doing something else.
Yeah, I think that's like what you have to do with some of the bosses, and that's why I found it hard.
Well, especially for the boss fights, it's essentially like having four chances at them, since if you're dying with one character, you can just switch off to the next one. And if you actually, you share the lives between the characters, so if one character dies, it does take a life from you, but all of the energy for the other four are restored. It's not like that goddamn Ninja Turtles game that I always bring up. Turtles 1, where...
Bane of your existence.
Yeah, where once you lose a turtle, you're screwed, because you have to backtrack 15 sewer stages to find them. Oh, turtles. It did take me a little bit to get used to the controls a little bit. But I also... I used to love the Mega Man games as a kid. So this game definitely reminded me of that. You can switch characters, which is kind of like switching weapons.
It is, yeah. And good reason it does remind you of is because one of the, I can't remember his name, but one of the main dudes behind Mega Man 1 and 2 is one of the people at this Takeru company and created this game.
Oh, that would make sense. Some of the bosses actually reminded me quite a bit of Mega Man bosses, because they attacked in similar fashion. I think at one point, DJ, the boss you were mentioning that spit the energy balls at you, like that kind of reminded me of the you're talking about that's equivalent to the rock monster that goes from one side of the screen to the other. And that,
yes. Yeah.
Which.
Yeah, or even the dragon boss is very similar. There's like a robot dragon in one of the Mega Man games that's pretty similar.
Yeah, exact same thing. I had trouble with that boss until I figured out you can if you just jump from the top block to the middle block, you're safe. Like the dragon can't hit you on the middle block. So no, like I feel like I definitely as is I was able to beat this game with just a little light dusting of save state manipulation. I feel like if I owned this game, I definitely would have beaten it properly.
Sure.
So, well, since I was kind of talking about this game, now it wasn't a huge seller for Taito because I have no idea how to say the game company name.
Potaito.
Potaito. Potato. Brisket, you're normally our pronunciation expert on the show. What are your thoughts here?
Taito.
Taito.
It could be any of those. It wasn't a great seller in any event, most likely because it came out in 1992. And as we mentioned with RC Pro-Am 2, that was pretty much near the end of the NES lifespan. DuckTales 2 also had that same problem. And as a result, sales were down in general, and games like Super Mario World and Sonic the Hedgehog, they had already been out for half a year to a year. So,
I did want to say this did seem pretty advanced for an NES game, and that's probably the reason why, because it was a later cycle game.
That's part of when I was looking online. That was part of the reason why some of these games go for so much is the fact that they are actually kind of good. You know, there's another, I'm blanking on the name of it. There's a restaurant themed game that's also pretty good. Like, I think it's called like Panic Restaurant. DuckTales 2 got good reviews. Like all these games.
Is it like Diner Dash, like that mobile game?
No, I think it's more like a. Have you ever played Rockin' Cats?
No.
Or it's kind of like a bright. I know. Just mention them. Have you ever played Clash at Demon Head?
You ever played Clue Challenge? What was it called?
Have you ever played Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge?
Yeah.
It's just like that game.
That I'm familiar with.
No, there are a bunch of these bright, colorful platforming games that came out toward the end of the NES lifespan, and they were all pretty good, like Little Samson. So, there is a pretty cool site out there called Price Charting, which tracks basically the sales of all these games on eBay and other auction sites for the past 5 years. The cart by itself for Little Samson goes for $800 to $900. There have been about 30 sales this year in that range. Dating back to 2012, there's only been 20 copies of the game that had the box, the manual, and the cart, with the highest going for $1,600. And since 2011, there have only been 4 new or sealed copies of this game that have been sold or found, with the top price being $5,500. So, literally, this
reasonable.
Yeah, this would have paid for a year of college for me. Oh my god!
I think another reason that I've heard speculated that it didn't sell so well is because the name is kind of like a biblical allusion, and you know there were a lot of very terrible Bible games for the Nintendo. Yes.
Yeah, I'll admit when I heard this game was coming up, and I definitely knew nothing about it, I was slightly scared that it would be some sort of Bible platformer.
Oh, come on, like Bible Adventures or...
Yeah.
No, I was a little... I thought the same thing. I thought this was going to be one of those off-brand games. Like I mentioned on a past show, I mentioned Dizzy the Adventurer. And Micro Machines and all those kind of weird games from Chimerica and Tengen. But no, this game is just this game's just good, man.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about how advanced the graphics are in this one, and the highly stylized, oh, and the beautiful crab sprite. this has some great animations and sprite characters. Like you are just a little anime styled boy running around throwing bells at forest animals, but then eventually you get to a point in the game where you're throwing your bells at highly detailed floating demonic skulls that are vomiting other demonic skulls.
Yeah,
it does get layered.
No, as far as NES graphics go, to me there are two kind of styles. Like one is the obviously retro Super Mario Brothers kind of game. It's also the type of the style you see on all of the box art. That, like, I kind of like that stuff, like the Donkey Kong stuff. But on the other end of the spectrum is this, which is legitimately colorful graphics. And again, Mega Man, Adventure Island was another one. Taito was kind of like this weird intermediate developer to me. Like, they had a bunch of, like, mid-range games like this.
Well, this one specifically was developed by Takeru, which they only made a handful of games, and one of their Nintendo game that came out just before Sire Densetsu Rikuru, Little Samson, is called Kokoron, and that game is nutty bonkers. It's like Mega Man on crack. You can, when you start the game, it's like some flying hippo is telling you you're in a dream. You create your character based on about, 50 different parts. You can choose a robot head with a ninja body and a dragon wing creature. And it is nutty. I encourage you guys, if you like Little Samson, you will at least appreciate this one that came just before it, because it is very stylized and has its own unique flavors.
Huh. Did you play that before this show, or did the show make you give that one a spin?
The show made me give it a spin, because how would you ever connect these two games based on their name? I don't know. Yeah, I just looked up Takeru and see, because it's such a mystery. I've never heard of that company. I don't know any other games they've developed. And then that is just one of their other NES games. And I tried it out, and it's nutty. You should at least just look up a YouTube video.
You're a man of the world. I assume that you played plenty of games.
Yeah, I think the story of Takeru is, I think it's like some people who were from Capcom who developed some of the early Mega Man games and kind of went off on their own to make their own similar but much weirder brand of platformer.
Oh, that would make sense. Well, I was looking at the list of Taito games, and one that that jumped out to me was Operation Wolf, which,
ooh,
yeah, did you guys ever play Operation Wolf?
No, but I want to.
I remember it because I don't know why, but I had this game as a kid. Even though it was basically, it was about Vietnam, I believe. So,
just an allegory.
No, you are rescuing, like, captured POWs and trying not to shoot nurses and that kind of stuff. It was a light gun game in the arcade, but on the NES, like, it was impossible to play with the zapper. Like, you had to use a controller on the NES.
Is it like a wolf chopper?
A wolf chopper?
Like a helicopter?
No, this is like a...
this is like a Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Yeah, it's like a first-person shooter kind of game. Well, not first-person shooter, but imagine Time Crisis, but for the NES.
I often do.
Yeah, and that's what Operation Wolf was. It actually is. It's a solid game, but it is tough, especially if you're going to use the light gun. Like I think you can use the light gun on it. But I remember playing it in the arcade too, and I was horrible at it. Could not hang. So, I was trying to look also quick at what other games came out around this time that Taito did. The Flintstones, The Rescue of Dino and Hoppy, which is yet another game that's worth $1 million.
A true classic.
Yeah, all of these games. Power Blade 2, which I don't know if you ever played that one. I played Power Blade 1, and that is actually a pretty good game. And Panic Restaurant, that is the game I was trying to think of. So that is also yet another Taito game.
Taito.
If only they had kept like 100 copies of their own games now, they would they would be rich.
Yeah, they should just kept a few.
Yeah.
It's so weird that this like obscure developer just like sees somehow classic games that no one can find.
We're using classic somewhat loosely here.
Well, I mean, if they're that I guess they're just valuable because they're rare, but like obviously someone's trying to buy them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, the quality kind of bumps the price up a little.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Oh, they did.
I have a rare game that we've talked about. It's called Bible Adventures.
Oh.
Ah, yes.
And
yes.
I could probably sell it for $2.
Well, how do you hold back? I mean, shocked you still have
it. I'm going to pass it down to my kids.
Oh, right.
That'll only appreciate in value.
You know what? I'm also going to give your children my copy of Turok 3.
Sweet.
I feel like they could buy a few textbooks with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to contribute because in the nuclear winter that follows, that's going to turn our Earth into hell-scorched desert, I want them to have 1080 snowboarding for the N64.
Solid.
To remind
you probably
them,
actually could get real money for that.
Oh, really? I have it.
I have not that. For me. I'm just...
just in general.
Yeah. I feel like that was a popular game.
I'll trade you straight up for Turok 3.
Or one of my... As I mentioned before, one of my 3 copies of Perfect Dark.
I only have one.
But want another.
I can throw in a copy of The Horde for 3DO.
Oh, dear.
What do you think about Tempest for the Jaguar? Can I sell you on Tempest?
No.
Maybe, or what about an X-Band modem for the Super Nintendo? I got one of those.
I do have the wireless adapter for the original Xbox.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I already have a Dreamcast modem. I feel like that's close enough.
That is.
Obscure peripherals aside.
Peripherals?
I can't talk.
Paraphernals?
Paraphernals.
Were we talking about anything?
Not really. Brisket, did you have any more thoughts on Little Samson here?
Oh, no. No, it's a great game. I never heard of this game before. I've heard of it. I've seen it in my ROM collections. By the way, I own all copies of those. I've seen it in my ROM collection. Never popped it on because of the name, but it's a solid game. I put it not as good as DuckTales, but it's right up there.
That seems like an arbitrary scale that you have there. Do you compare?
No, I've mentioned before that DuckTales is one of my favorite games.
Do you compare every game to DuckTales? Because I would find that kind of humorous. Where does Duke Nukem 3D rank versus DuckTales?
Well, obviously it's subpar compared to DuckTales because in Duke Nukem 3D, can you do a pogo stick on your cane? I don't think so.
No.
You can toss money at strippers, but you cannot do a pogo stick on using a cane.
No, I think the ratings board took that feature out with the strippers. You can't pogo on them. And by that, I mean sex. just to be clear.
Steven.
I'm hanging up. What is this? Come on.
Word.
At least we haven't sworn 25 times like the Contra show. DJ, go ahead.
I would say I would rank Duke Nukem at one quarter of a DuckTale using the DuckTale metric.
Seems fair.
You would give it the moldy green cheese as opposed to the scepter from Transylvania.
Oh god.
Huel, what are your thoughts here on Little Samson?
Pretty similar to Todd. It's a game that I had not heard of, but it turned out to be pretty interesting and fun. Just the whole mechanic, as we talked about, of switching characters was something I don't think anything on the NES had been trying besides like Mega Man, but as we said, that was just one character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, similar layout, similar style. I had a good time playing it.
Nice. And DJ, since this was your pick, how do you what are your closing thoughts on Little Samson here?
I mean, it was wild to go back and play it because it'd been a few years, and I actually just beat it like, I don't know, an hour and a half before the podcast here, and it was a good time. I was surprised. It was a little more difficult than I remember. This is one of those. This has probably happened to you guys too, where
yeah,
it's like
it's a running theme. Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I remember being able to beat this when I was like 10. How hard can it be? And like 11 save state reloads later, like, oh yeah.
It seems like everybody has this problem except for friend of the show Backsack and friend of the show Paul, because they just blaze through Kid Icarus and Contra.
Yeah, that's why I was somewhat questionable.
You know what? That just makes me think that when they were actually in their heyday, like they were probably ridiculous, like one of those people on YouTube who could actually beat Battletoads.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I had a friend in college who could beat Contra without dying, and I know because I saw him do it, and I didn't believe him. I was like, prove it, and then he did.
Right, yeah.
That I was going to say, that sounds like a useful time in college, but then again, I don't know.
Yeah, let's not pretend you wouldn't have done the same.
I know. I don't know how much of my life I lost to Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. And GoldenEye. GoldenEye was always huge. Yeah, you were in middle school, right, Huel?
I will make flowers on that game.
Oh, my God. We are working blue tonight. or red and white. Colors of Valentine's Day.
You never know.
All right, well, let's move on to the email portion of the show here. Huel, did you have any emails, buddy?
I did. I received an email from frequent writer Scooterbutt42.
Oh, Scooty.
Yeah. So they write in. I can't believe you guys talked about Contra last week. What a coincidence. I've been using a Contra box as a pillow. Crazy how these things work out. The show has been going great lately. Huel's jokes are always the best. When will the other two start trying? The guests have been okay, I guess. It must be nice to be able to talk to someone. Sincerely, Scooterbutt42.
Well, Scooty, I would say, you know, cash in that Contra box. That's got to be worth some money.
It's true. I don't know why he'd be using it in that way, but
yeah,
at least it's close to him. He's keeping it safe.
Hmm. And also, yeah. he's written in the past about how he can't afford food. You would think he'd be able to turn that Contra box into, you know, a couple tacos.
Well, I mean, just because he's asking where you could get free food doesn't mean he's, you know,
he's just
hard up for money.
Yeah,
he's just miserly.
You never know. Doesn't mean he can't afford it. I mean, who doesn't want free food? I mean, Also, we don't know if the game's inside there. Just be the box.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess those discarded boxes have to go somewhere since I have like a dozen Nintendo games and no boxes. So
exactly.
Apparently they just all go into Scooter Butt's cul-de-sac.
Wherever he rests his head.
Yeah. Well, D seems like a cul-de-sac, man. That's what I'm thinking.
He's got the picket fence and the driveway.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Brisket, did you have any emails to read?
Yeah, I got another one from Butterscoot 24.
Mm-hmm.
Goes, Todd, if you shoot someone in the head with the 45, every time you kill somebody, it becomes like your fingerprint, see? But if you strangle one, stab another, and you cut one you cut up, and one you don't, then the police don't know what to do. They think you're four different people. What they really want, what makes their job so much easier, is pattern. What they call a modus operandi. That's Latin. Bet you didn't know any Latin, did you, kid? It's like a trail of...
There.
It's like blood droppings from a deer you shot. And all they've got to do is follow those droppings, and pretty soon, they're going to find their deer. So you can use a gun. I'm not saying you can't use a gun. Just don't use the same gun twice. I think you guys should talk about a TurboGrafx-16 game. Kind regards, Butterscoot24. You guys ever put any time in on the TurboGrafx-16?
No, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, you just want?
I've always wanted one. I've seen the commercials, and they look. The commercials were kind of amazing to me. I never owned one. Seems more like a backsack purchase.
Oh, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, backsack. He would.
Why is that?
Well, because
he's old.
Not because he's old. It's because he comes from money. He went to Pepperdine.
Oh right.
The only time I had experience with the TurboGrafx was the they had it set up at Toys R Us one Christmas. So you know,
classic move.
Yeah, just play. I played a Bonk. I think Bonk.
Yeah, that is the game that defines the TurboGrafx. I think is Bonk's Adventure. I couldn't name a single other TurboGrafx game.
I can name Splatterhouse, but it's only because I own it. And the only reason I own it was I saw it for a dollar at a consignment shop once, so I bought it. So I've Splatterhouse for the TurboGrafx-16, but no TurboGrafx-16, unfortunately. It's one of life's regrets for me.
Steve, you may have a problem.
Listen, I just like to acquire gaming stuff as long as it costs less than $25.
I just like to know it's there.
Yeah. He stares
at it when he goes to sleep at night.
I just like being able to look at my 3DO sitting on my desk over there, and when ladies come over to my apartment, have them ask, oh, is that a VCR? And I go,
why
no.
Why do you have a VCR?
Because it legit looks like a VCR. So... It's just a little mind game I like to play.
Right.
DJ, did you have any experience with the TurboGrafx at all?
I did not. I've heard of it, but I haven't used it. But I did enjoy the story. I'm picturing you just gazing into the middle distance with various game paraphernalia in front of you.
Well,
fun fact, Steve. Every other night strips completely nude and covers himself in gaming consoles.
Just wraps those cords around him.
I use the Wii nunchuck as a necklace.
Mm-hmm. It's so exhausting. You have to take a day off, right? You can't do it every night.
No. Have you ever seen the movie Red Dragon?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except instead of the painting of the Red Dragon, I'm doing that in front of a Nintendo, a PlayStation 3, and an Xbox.
I think Butterscoot might have seen that film.
Yeah, I think Butterscoot's familiar with that.
I'd be a big fan.
Yeah. Actually, this is sad. I have an Xbox. I've never powered it on.
Wow.
because I got it. I bought it from a friend last year for like $30.
Just the regular one?
Yeah, the old Xbox, just because I...
Xbox Zero?
Yeah. It just because I didn't have one, and I'm like, eh, you know, it's cheap. I also do want a Virtual Boy, too, but those are... I haven't seen one on the cheap yet to get. Well, I also got an email in.
Good.
And it was specifically addressed, but not to me. Dear Huel, this is show number 15 for you guys. Who is your favorite character from wrestling video games? Sincerely, H. Hogan.
Huh. Well, H. So I guess... I normally just played the WWF ones. Like, who did I play the most as, I guess? My favorite?
Yeah.
Well... I don't know if I should mention this, but my favorite wrestler back in the day was usually Chris Benoit.
Oh no!
But I don't feel right mentioning that I played as him a lot. So I guess Stone Cold was always a go-to. Oh. I mean, he's very popular.
Maybe we should have a talk. Maybe we should have a talk off air.
Look, I said was okay. I don't use him anymore in games. His Jericho was always a go-to. You know, Kane was always fun because he was huge and he was usually strong.
Yeah.
Plus, he was like had a mask that was fun.
Mm-hmm. A pretty mask.
I'm trying to think of like No Mercy was probably my favorite one. That was the upper echelon of wrestling games.
Oh yeah, that was the N64 one, right?
Yeah. So I used Jericho a lot in that one, I think, and Angle. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle was a fave.
No, I was kind of cliche. I would always use well, Jericho was big. I always liked him. The Rock was, I liked using The Rock because his finishers. Yeah, The Rock Bottom was always a really cool finisher to me.
Yeah,
and more
Rock's Bottom.
Yeah, you could smell what he was cooking.
Exactly,
and then. For the older games, I would play as Mr. Perfect and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mm.
Like they were.
I didn't really play much of the older ones.
I put some time in as Bam Bam Bigelow and Doink the Clown and Yokozuna. Oh
yeah, was that the Royal Rumble?
Yeah,
yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
I dabbled
the arcade
in that one.
Game too.
Yeah.
Doink the Clown.
Classic. Hey,
yeah. Heel Doink is unbeatable.
DJ, are you a wrestling fan at all? I can't remember, actually.
I not so much anymore, although it's funny you mention it. My old roommate like pretty much exclusively watched the WWE channel when we lived together. That was pretty much all I ever saw him do and like listen to wrestling podcasts. So I learned a lot during that 6 month or so period. When I was living with that guy, and
you can say Huel.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
There's no
all right.
No secrets.
But I appreciated the my initiation to the wrestling world by Huel. No, I was a pretty big fan when I was like 12, and then I had some roommates who were really into it, who I watched it with in college, and then I watched SummerSlam. This past summer with a bunch of my friends because they were ordering it or they had the WWE channel and we all watched it together. And it was a really good time.
Last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, because it's coming up again in 2 or 3 weeks here.
Yeah.
It's now 4 hours long. And also, by the way, like you can make a whole weekend of it because there's Raw the next day. And then the day before, there's NXT in Brooklyn, so.
Yeah, they're having a big show. It's going to be good.
Yeah, just book a hotel room and just stay the whole weekend. Just gorge yourself on WWE.
Gorge.
All right. I think we're wrapping up here. Brisket, did you have anything you wanted to say before we closed out?
No. Bye bye.
Okay then. Huel, any parting thoughts?
Not really either. Thank you, DJ, for suggesting a hidden gem of a game.
It's a hidden gem.
I know. Maybe next week we can play Little Samson 2. It's from 1995 and it costs 47 carat diamonds. you literally have to give that green wedge of cheese from DuckTales that they found on the moon.
You have to go to the moon and retrieve a trophy.
Yeah.
To buy it.
You have to wrest it from Harry Carey's hands and bring it back. All right, DJ, thanks so much for being on the show here. How'd you like the experience? Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. I would I'd love to swing by again sometime. This was a lot of fun, and thanks for having me on, and thanks for not being like, this was a terrible suggestion. Please never come back.
There's always next time. We could maybe you'll suggest the NES version of Jeopardy. Something like that.
Look, we haven't had the post show meeting yet, so I wouldn't count my chickens.
NES is the Little Mermaid.
Wait a minute. Hang on. That is a legit good game. Don't you besmirch Little Mermaid.
Oh my god. Yes, you and my sister can start a podcast, Brisket. All right. On that note, before I get us into any more trouble with obscure gaming references, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.